This is the Sci Fidelity Podcast, episode 20. John Carter is the Walking Dead. This episode has got some pretty rotten language and some pretty rotten corpses. So watch out for spoilers, watch out for rotten languages. Got it, bitches?
Playing because it's get the penis. It sounds like a game of your alley.
No. The plot issue. I can put up with the penis. I got lots of penis in my role playing games. But
oh my god! Sharon, welcome to the Sci Fidelity Podcast. This is Patrick.
This is Michael. This is Brian with lots of penis.
And this is Steve. It was Michael this time.
Oh, okay. Whoa! Oh! Holy shit! I dove on that shit like a grenade, son.
Oh my god, that was really great. I have lots of penis in my role-playing games. Wow.
Hey, sex is a part of life. I want my role-playing games to reflect all the most exciting parts of life.
Why don't you like all that gay sex? just penis. Oh, you like sci-fi. Is there a lot of docking in your role-playing games?
Some. It depends on if they've got transporters or not.
Oh god. So, John Carter.
Scotty beamed me twice last night. It was wonderful.
You know, it's
oh
funny.
Oh, my.
It's funny because I don't think he knows what docking is. Anyway, continue. Wow.
Well, Steve, I haven't seen John Carter.
I was going to say,
apparently no one else has either.
Yeah, I don't. That's the thing. So, this movie's like, all right, I'm just going to totally move away from what the fuck we were talking about. Yeah, John Carter is like completely flopping. Because nobody apparently wanted to see it.
Yeah, I read a piece from Disney, an official statement from them saying that they were expecting to take a $200 million bath on that.
That they were expecting a $200 million?
Well, based on the first two weekends.
Oh, yeah, right.
Based
right,
on the first two weekends extrapolated, they were going to take a $200 million bath.
Yeah.
Well, okay, it's not that bad because worldwide, I mean, they're still in the hole, but they've made like $173 million worldwide.
They spent.
It's only been $55 million in the U.S. and the budget was $250 million.
Well, and $100 million for advertising on top of that $250 million.
Well, what it is is from what I've heard, this movie is now being compared to like Ishtar and other known massive flops.
Waterworld.
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard the Waterworld comparison, and I'm like, wow.
And again,
I'm sort of curious to see how bad it is. I mean, given its roots.
From what I've heard, it's
but I'm not
going
to buy into it. I'm not going to pay to go see
it. Well, like, Lorax is doing really, really well, and I went on Rotten Tomatoes, and they're, as far as both the critics and the popular people vote on Rotten Tomatoes, John Carter is like 3% down as of like yesterday from a 3% beneath Lorax in both categories. There is not a huge difference between Lorax, which is raking in all the money, and John Carter, which is dying.
I can sort of see why Lorax does well, because people bring their kids and each one of the kids needs a ticket. But, you know,
and
I still don't want
to
see it
more than once.
So I don't think I'll be paying to see it anyway.
Kids like to go to movies like Disney movies, so they would never see John Carter.
No. You guys are missing out on the point. It's not that kids will like see things multiple times. You have to pay for all the kids. It's that the parents need to shut the kids up. All right, and they're like every day. Like if you have a kid, it's every day. Like, all right, you know what? We're gonna go to the fucking movie theater. You're gonna sit down. I don't have to deal with your ass for like an hour and a half. This is great. Why do you think parents go in droves to all these kids' movies? Is this
why are they always getting thrown out for playing on their phone?
It doesn't negate the point that it's all those kids getting tickets. You you know what I mean?
It validates it. Kids are the reason, No, we're saying kids are the reason, but it's not, you know, that they go multiple times or whatever. It's just the fact that kids, like, you take your kid to see a movie.
That's how the babysitter.
Barney DVDs get sold. I get
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know, but John Carter was a Disney movie.
John Carter was a Disney movie that was not aimed at
it wasn't
children.
It wasn't animated.
It may be PG and it may be a Disney movie, but it was aimed at adults.
No, it was.
Well,
not
it
aimed
also
at anyone.
Just
That's
might
why
suck.
Nobody saw it.
No,
yeah.
it's aimed at teens. One of the things I've heard is that it was aimed at teens, but the plot was too complicated for the teens to easily follow. So that was their criticism was, well, I didn't know what was going on. It wasn't simple enough for me, right? Mm. And so
now I want to see this if this movie was is failing because it's too complex.
Well, I don't know if that's
I'd
the only
reason. I
seriously
doubt
but...
it. I think that's bullshit.
Why are you hating on this movie, Steve? You haven't seen it. Have you seen do you know anybody that's seen it?
I actually kind of want to see John
I've
Carter.
Seen lots of reviews
most of the reviews
talking about the
said
film.
They liked it.
Ebert gave
and
it 2.5 stars
one of the critics
and he hates
I
sci-fi.
Saw said that the movie was hard to follow and that it seemed to be sort of scatterbrained. Like, the typical problem is they've got 3 hours of movie and they crammed it into an hour and a half or whatever, however long that movie is. And so that's sort of where my opinion comes from. I don't think the likelihood of it being overly intellectual, someone would have said that. I haven't heard anyone saying that.
Well, it's overly
Come up across my radar.
It's overly intellectual if you're 14, but movie reviewers tend to be older than 14.
See, the impression I've gotten is that it's a massive failure in marketing. It's none of the teens even are interested in seeing this movie.
Yeah, I think the issue is that they didn't get the people into the theater initially. And, and from what I've heard, a lot of people were bitching that the trailer was horrible and was just
did not generate interest
at all.
It was pretty bad. But I think a movie can be successful if you don't have the main character on the side of a, you know, fucking Burger King cup. I still think it's possible.
If you're marketing to 14-year-olds, can it be successful without the Burger King cup?
No.
I think so.
I think if you spend that much money on the movie and you are going after a particular market, which is 14-year-old boys, I do think it helps.
it does seem like a 14-year-old boy.
Oh, it is a 14-year-old boy movie. Well, it absolutely is. As a matter of fact, I read something recently where they were talking about Disney can't seem to get that market because they failed with Prince of Persia, too. Because one basically flopped as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
think
know.
I'd like to see it before I go saying this is definitely a, you know, tweener movie. You know what
well,
I mean?
I'm probably gonna see John Carter. My issue with John Carter wasn't that I didn't want to see it at all. I just wasn't super excited. I was planning to see it at home, but I figured it was gonna make money. I didn't realize that. I think a lot of people made the same decision that I did, which was I don't think a lot of people thought it was gonna be horrible. I just think a lot of people thought I'll just see it at home.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what. I think if you want to talk about a movie that's getting attacked before it's had its chance. Is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from Michael Bay.
But there it's warranted.
It's warranted because he wants to change them to space aliens. I'd like to point out that the script for this movie hasn't even been fucking written yet, but people are shitting all over it already.
I would like to point out it's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They have to be mutants, turtles, ninjas and teenagers.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine recently, and I was like, well, if we go with Michael Bay's analogy, the only thing that still applies is teenage, and that's only because they may have lived for 16 years, makes them teenagers.
The years are going to be relative for different star systems, so even that is up for debate about how applicable the term teenager can be applied to something from another planet.
But my friend did kind of point
out 50.
My friend did kind of point out to me that the ninja could still technically apply if they came to Earth and learned the ninjutsu. So I was like, okay, I guess that one could
but
still
be. But they won't be taught by Splinter even. So
I was like, okay, whatever. I'll concede that one. But they're certainly not mutants, and they're certainly not turtles. And then
hopefully,
he made the point, well,
this is enough
they could be
to
mutants
bring you all on board my campaign to stop Michael Bay. I don't care what we have to do.
I liked your campaign idea with the one that would involve the 2,333 feet per second.
Do you know what that is?
The how fast
that's
he can run.
That's the velocity of a 7.62 millimeter round at 200 yards. And I'm not saying that I'm going to fire that bullet, but if he can't be faster than that,
then he might have a problem.
He might have a problem. I might be having a bad day.
I'm just going to say, yeah, he pissed off a lot of people. I will say it's getting funny because I keep hearing about all these actors from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles taking sides, because some people have actually taken the side of, hey, man, let's give Michael Bay a chance. And other ones have actually said, stop pissing on my childhood.
But we did give him a chance. It was called Transformers 1, 2, and 3. Yeah.
And apparently for the third one, we gave him a big-ass chance.
That's a big damn chance.
Indeed. A lot of us saw it. No. I feel that we need to, like, let the whole Teenage Mutant Ninja thing go.
Michael Bay certainly let it go.
So I will let it go by jumping into what we were planning to discuss for the episode. Walking Dead.
Not dead?
Walking Dead, which just ended its second season. Now, I know three of us have actually seen all of it.
And one of us
become running dead yet?
And one of us doesn't like zombies, so you can guess who that is.
Is that your issue with The Walking Dead?
I have not seen Walking Dead. I have no issues with it one way or the other. I'm just being a smartass.
They have The Talking Dead, which is the show that comes on right after The Walking Dead where they talk about The Walking Dead.
Doctor Who Confidential?
Yes, it's Doctor Who Confidential.
Cool.
Here's the thing that I liked about the Walking Dead finale. Just heads up, I'm pretty sure since the three of us have actually seen it, that we are just gonna just talk about actual shit that happened in the finale. So if you haven't seen it, and by the time this airs, you really should have seen it by now.
Ooh, spoiler alert!
Yeah, spoilers. That was for you, Brian.
Oh, you know me. I love some River Song.
There's some shit that goes down in the last episode that I thought was really cool. And they set up a lot of stuff that, if you read the comic, got me kind of amped. Because I was like, oh, Michonne. Because they show a character that is clearly popular character from the comic book.
That's definitely Michonne. I mean, there's no getting around that. It's like, oh, no, that's kind of... Maybe you're very similar to this other character that has a sword and
walks walkers, around with two walkers zombies on chains.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's possible it could be another one.
Yeah, no, this whole world's filled with that shit.
And that last shot at the end where it panned up and you saw the prison in the background, I was like, fucking nice.
See, here's the thing about that, though. I think you had to have, like, read the comic to know that that was the prison.
Yeah, you would have to.
Because it wasn't really well lit.
Lit.
Because it was the middle of the night and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like,
but you could tell it was a building.
No.
I think their point was that it's clear that there's something of safety back there.
Oh, yeah. No. But it's just, like, I remember looking at it, and I'm like, you know, it kind of looks like a castle. I know there's no castles in Hotlanta. I watch it with my wife, and she's never read the comics. And she's kind of like, what the hell is that? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a prison. So that's where.
Yeah, true. That may have just been a nod to the comic book people.
I hope it goes there.
Oh no!
It's definitely going to go there. I already know for a fact it's going to go there. But I agree with Patrick that it was kind of blurry, and the only reason that I knew that it was a prison was because I had read the comic and I had actually been expecting them to go there. I will say this, and this is not about the stuff that's coming up. This was about the season that just ended. It became clear about halfway through the season that they wanted the whole season to take place on the farm. I felt the farm storyline went on a little long. And by a little long,
it did.
I mean very long.
Well, which part?
I was really disappointed by that aspect of it.
Well, it was. Okay. Well, which part of it? The fact that they were there or the fact that there were...
It's not the fact that they were there. It's just the fact that I felt like this... I kind of felt like, I'm sorry, Brian, you got nothing to talk about.
I was wondering if I could jump in and say, could you just summarize, each of you summarize in one or two sentences what The Walking Dead is to you.
Does it have to be to me? I can summarize what it is.
Okay, what it is.
Basically, it's the same concept that you get with a lot of zombie movies, except this one takes place after most zombie movies end. It's an ongoing story of the world dealing with the zombie outbreak, but most zombie movies is the initial outbreak.
Okay.
This is
so
people.
This is all the movies.
Yeah, this is an ongoing story of people trying to survive in a world where zombies have come. And to really get around the whole, you know, initial outbreak thing, they did kind of what was it, what's the name of the movie?
28 Days Later.
What 28 Days Later did, where
with
the guy was in a coma. And he woke up after the initial outbreak.
Yeah, the story starts.
They cut to flashbacks.
It's bad when even I recognize the cliche, the zombie movie cliche.
Is it a cliche if it's only been done one time before?
I recognized it. That's and I know nothing about zombie movies.
No, I don't think that makes it a cliche.
No,
though
it's not a cliche. And the reason that they did it, like 28 Days Later, did it. I think because that was a small budget film.
True.
And they didn't so, want
it. They also, question, which comic did it? Did the comic do it first before
No, well, 28 Days Later came out in 2004. This started...
I think the comic actually came out around the same time. Because you have to understand, the comic is in the... It's close to 100. So the comic's been coming out for a while.
So maybe.
I mean, there's a good chance the comic may have actually come first.
Okay, well, in which case, it's 28 Days Later that has the problem. So
But
that's the thing. I don't think it's really a cliche. I think it's just a thing where they both had the same idea.
And as a TV show, we moved on from that point quickly. So whatever the problems were in the startup, we are move off and running.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a problem.
I don't know. I really did like the first season that had all these different locations and them having to deal with and find places to be safe. I mean, that was a little bit of Left 4 Dead for me. That little taste of the dangerous new area that we're not real familiar with. Man, when they stopped moving off the farm, I really felt it just dropped an anchor on that whole section of the show.
Well, one thing that I know that they did, and I was expecting to have this problem when they got to the prison, if the show had gone to the prison. Because in the comic, and again, I know I'm comparing it to the comic, but it's kind of hard not to when this storyline was actually very similar to what happened in the comic. The farm, I don't think actually lasted that long in the comic. Now the prison,
no, it does.
The does it?
Yeah. So in the comic, what happens is they get to the farm. Carl, that's his name. Carl gets shot,
Which is exactly like the show.
Yeah. Herschel fixes him up, but this is where they diverge, and the show actually diverges from the comic significantly at several points. And so after. While Carl is recuperating, I think one of Herschel's kids goes to the barn to feed the walkers, and he's kind of screwing around, and so the walkers are already they're at the door, right? Normally they're not at the door; they're just milling around inside. So the zombies are at the door, and as soon as he opens it, they all just stream out, kill him, kill I think his sister or his wife or something
I think it
like
was
that.
his girlfriend
maybe and so then all our lovely band of heroes here or survivors I guess would be more accurate, so they go, oh crap, walkers, and they go and they kill them all, and Herschel's like, no, stop, they're people and blah blah blah, and so that makes them say, no, you guys got to get the hell off my farm, this is bullshit. So they pile in the RV, they find the prison, and then shortly after that they say, wow, we found this prison. It's great. It's safe.
Are you spoiling season
and,
three?
Well,
no, because he's actually talking about something that was very different.
Yeah, this is very different. So also, I don't know.
He can't spoil season three given that he hasn't seen it.
Exactly.
But he might have read it.
The producer has said that he intended the comic book version and the TV version to be different. Same, but different. And it was on purpose to provide more content, a different take. And when you come out and say that, and it's from the same creator, so they're close, I don't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, no,
I think that we're getting quality out of the TV show.
Well, I appreciated that it diverged because as a person that read the comic and loved it long before the series even came on television, I was like, it's kind of nice that I can still be surprised by things. And I like it, actually, when they kind of bring things kind of back a little bit to the comic. Like when...
Can I just finish that? Little thing was, they get the prison. Prison's great. Then they go back and get Herschel and say, hey...
We got a prison.
Prison is more secure than your house. Mm-hmm. And he agrees to come.
Right.
All right. So anyway, go ahead.
One of the things that I did like, speaking of things that are different, but then they ended up bringing it back, was... In the TV show, Carl does eventually end up shooting Shane in the head. It's just that in the comic book, when he did it, he wasn't a zombie. He was actually still alive.
See, okay, well, maybe we can get into that in a little bit. So again, to compare back to the comic book, to let you know that they are different, Shane dies at like issue six.
He dies at the end of issue six.
End of issue six. And so...
Which is like an episode.
Well, no, I mean, that was about like two-thirds of the way through episode one.
Yeah, I was going to say most people thought that...
Before the CDC.
Yeah, most people thought Shane for sure was going to die at the end of season one because he died so early in the comic.
Right.
So everybody was very surprised to see Shane even in the second season.
Right. So now to pull it back to you, because this is my issue. In the comic, he dies because...
Hey, Brian.
we have to nudge Brian to make sure he's awake. Don't want him drooling on himself where he has to drive home. Sorry, Brian. So in the... Well, this is for your benefit. You should be listening, Brian, because I'm telling you stuff that you wouldn't know. So in the comic, you know, basically the issues that we had with Shane, those basically come to a head a lot sooner where he's like, hey, I kind of like that I was sleeping with your wife and being a dad to your kid. So I think I'm just going to kill you and take that back because you've ruined what little crappy life I had in the zombie apocalypse. And so he comes at Rick, and Carl pulls out his gun and shoots him. Like, they let Carl have a gun because it's like, what, it's a zombie apocalypse. Every kid should have a gun. And so he shoots Shane in the head. Now, Shane is like a living, breathing person, completely functional. Carl basically murders him.
Yeah.
But it's kind of self-defense. He was protecting his dad.
It is self-defense, but it is one of those things that I didn't expect them to put on television.
Well, right. So this is the thing. So now I was like, oh, but they dumbed it down. So he shoots him, but he's a zombie. I mean, here's the thing. The thing that made it so striking in the comic book was that this kid basically had to kill another person to save
his
dad.
Who wasn't even a zombie. Yeah. I mean, he was doing what you see in a lot of zombie flicks, which is the zombies are not the worst part. It's other humans.
Well, that. And the zombies, well, I mean, there's no, like, you don't wake up in the middle of the night crying because you killed a zombie. You're just like, oh, it's like I swatted a fly. That damn thing was going to bite me. What the hell? Right. So I killed it. That's self-defense. This was... Maybe we could have reasoned with Shane, maybe whatever. No, kid shot him in the head.
You know who
Good
says
shot,
that,
by the way?
People that get killed. People that get killed think, oh, maybe we can reason with it. Maybe we can reason with Shane.
And this is why you don't watch Doctor Who. And
that's
kind of confused why you watch Star Trek. But
yeah, Doctor Who is a bit a pacifist sometimes.
he's a pacifist unless I need to kill like an entire species.
Yeah,
then whatever. Genocide is cool. Individuals, that's not cool.
he's very dictatorial that way.
dictatorial.
I already did my rant for the day.
Yeah.
But we so wanted you to be involved in this.
So that was the thing. So you liked it. I kind of thought it was kind of a cop-out.
I thought it was a nice nod to the comic.
It's a nod, but...
I never thought they were going to have, like, the kids shoot an actual person.
Yeah.
They were never going to do that.
I don't think it's as big a deal. I don't think it's really a cop-out because they're way, way, like, gross and violent. Like, the gross-out factor on this show... They get away with just about anything can think of, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Like the whole well scene where they're pulling the zombie out of the well and it splits in half and zombie half falls into the well and half rolls out onto the ground. That was god fucking awful.
That was pretty
that was
gross.
Awful.
Yeah.
And then it tries to bite him. The half that's above ground is like, flesh. It was like, oh, that's awesome.
Well, one thing that I think the show did very well, and it carried it over from the comic, but in a different way, The comic is very good about telling you, about making the point that no one is safe. It doesn't matter if you go, oh, he's the main character, so he's going to survive. Yeah. That shit does not apply to The Walking Dead. Yeah. People that you would consider to be main characters in the comic book die gruesomely.
People that have survived really far in the comic book,
people who
dead.
Survived like 60, 70 issues die.
Yeah. Like so, Dale. Like, Dale lived a lot longer than this.
And that was the thing. That's how they made the point in the show. They killed a character that died a lot later on.
Yeah.
Also, they killed Sophia, who's still alive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sophia is still alive in the comic book.
It's an excellent way to say you don't know what's coming next. You're going to have to watch. And I think it's great.
Now they have the actual creator of the show of the comic is
one of the producers.
He's executive producer,
and he's written several episodes.
Okay, so yeah, I think if you've got the if you've got the actual creator involved, then it's impossible to call blasphemy on anything.
Yeah, and it's definitely not blasphemy. It's definitely, I like the way that they're doing it. They're doing it in a way so that even if you read the comic book, you can still be surprised. One of the things that they did in the show that they also did in the comic was, I like how they have a different kind of thing with the zombies where you don't actually have to be bit. In this universe, if you just die, you become a zombie.
Yeah.
This is just how death works now on the world. If you die, you become a zombie.
It's a paradigm
shift.
That's
in which version?
That's in both.
That's in both, actually. Yeah.
It was just revealed at the end of season two that's how it applied to the TV show as well.
Okay.
Because they killed somebody that was nowhere near a zombie, and he still turned. So
I'm trying to remember when they did that in the comic.
They did it in the comic when two girls who were trying to commit suicide.
No, it wasn't two girls. It was the girl and
her boyfriend.
And are we going to talk about? Maybe not. There's not a whole lot of time left. But the T-Dog thing.
Yeah, the T-Dog thing. All right, I'll just say this. I don't know how much we want to get into this, but seriously, T-Dog, which is one of the new characters for the show, did absolutely nothing this season. Well, and I thought that was interesting, where he was just a background character.
I don't think he's a new character. I think he's supposed to be Tyrese.
Do you think he's supposed to be Tyrese?
I think he's supposed to be Tyrese, because we haven't been introduced to Tyrese, and he showed up fairly early. T-Dog?
True.
I got a question about the mechanics of the show.
Okay.
Sure.
So you remember when Shane is on the bus?
Yes.
And he's got zombies pushing in on the school bus door.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he's putting blood on the door, on the frame of the door, and the zombies are going crazy because they can, like, smell it or sense it or taste it or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how the mechanic works for them? Like, the zombies crave blood? Because if that's the case, then why didn't T-Dog just become the biggest zombie magnet ever?
Right, when he cut his arm on the door at the
Were there
at
any
the
zombies nearby?
Well, actually, there was a whole zombie horde that passed.
Oh, that's damn good through, point. Yeah.
He was hiding in the car with a cut arm. They should have killed him. Yeah, that's something that they kind of added kind of towards the end there, like the last couple episodes. Yeah. And to be honest, I think it's dumb. I mean, you know, like all of a sudden we have these
zombie
senses.
Sharks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, zombie sharks, exactly. But whatever. I mean, they don't make it like a big point.
Yeah, it's not like something that they make a big deal out of. But.
I mean, if that was the case, I mean, they have way too many women traveling with them. If,
oh my.
I will say that is something that a lot of hunters have actually done in the past. Because animals can't actually smell that.
Yeah.
But it's a bigger deal than that, because then they could never have meat either, right? You slaughter a pig or a cow or whatever, you're fucked now.
They did bring that up on the show, because they did actually say in like the second to last episode, we're on a farm with a shit ton of cattle. We're just a magnet for fucking zombies.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like
The
zombies will eat anything they catch.
Okay.
Any
now,
flesh
when the
they
cows
catch.
Die, do they become zombies, or does this only affect humanity?
It's only
apparently
things that
not
have a soul. Apparently
not.
Yeah. Apparently, it's just people.
Okay, so you can still eat cow meat and not turn or something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so is it the
case
that...
Well, that's the thing, like I said, everybody's...
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not the...
Everyone is infected, right? Like, everyone has got this.
They basically said they treated it like a virus. Like, on the comic, I don't think they treat it as a virus. They just say it's a zombie thing.
Okay, so it's just like the worst form of regeneration ever.
Yeah.
Right.
They actually made a rather religious comment at the end of the last one that I thought was cool, but I was like, wow, that's... Didn't think you would go there. Okay,
well, I mean, it fits because there's no.
It does fit
because they have a section at the end of season one where they go to the CDC. So they bring the science into it, and the guy is basically like, "Look, there's no. Is it a virus? We think it's a virus, but everybody's got it. So
and
it doesn't make any sense because a virus that would reanimate you. I mean, this isn't Resident Evil. That's not how this shit works.
The T-virus.
But yeah, so basically they've made the distinction that it's not the bite that infects you. The bite kills you, but you're already infected.
Okay.
So, it's not like in some zombie movies where like somebody gets bit and they're like, oh, cut his hand off before the virus passes through his system or something like that. Well, that doesn't apply here because you're still gonna turn into a zombie if you die. Mm-hmm. So,
well, you remember when they found the police officers and they're trying to determine how they died? They didn't see any bite marks. They didn't see any scratches. So and those cops were definitely zombies.
I'll say this. It was something that clearly, towards the end of the season, they were clearly building up to. And because I had read the comic, I knew where they were going with it. When they were like, I don't see any bite marks, I was like, oh, okay, so that is the same like it is in the comic where you don't actually have to have bitten. You just have to die.
Yeah,
no, I would. One thing,
as an outsider, I have to say that's kind of a cool twist, at least from what little
I know about.
So
have you tried
zombies.
Watching the show?
Wait. Before we get into that, I do want to say one last thing. One thing that I thought was really cool that they did in the comic book when they found out was... Shane died, like I said, in issue 6 when Rick found out who was his best friend before he had to be killed. When he found out that everybody basically comes back, he went and found his friend that he had buried like miles back and dug him up and then killed him because he was a zombie buried.
Well,
and he was like, he felt that he should do that for his friend, even though his friend tried to kill him.
No, wait, he was dead, but he dug him up and killed him.
Yeah, no,
he was
a zombie.
He became a zombie because he figured he wouldn't become a zombie because he wasn't bitten.
So what did he do? Why would you want to dig up a zombie?
Because out of respect to his friend.
He didn't want his friend to be walking around like a zombie.
Yeah, his friend was basically buried alive.
Even though
it was a zombie.
How good of a friend could
it
be?
So what did
he
do after he dug him up? Set him free to roam?
No, he killed
his
him.
Friend
no.
was...
He killed him again.
Buried alive dead.
Does he come back again?
He was buried alive
dead. 13 tries on
I don't see why you're making this so difficult, Brian.
I'm not
he dug up a zombie and he shot it in the head. It's done.
He's making it circular. It's like, if you're a zombie and then someone kills you, don't you just come right back? No, it's not. You get one chance, Brian.
you
come back once.
You get one extra life.
You get
life.
One regeneration.
One regeneration.
You get one extra life.
It's not unlimited life. This is not the Contra code. It's one extra life.
But this guy you were talking about who came out of a well was ripped in half, and yet he was still unalive, yes?
You got to kill the brain.
Yes.
Duh.
It's like you've never killed a zombie before, Brian. What the hell?
I've never killed a zombie before.
When the apocalypse comes, you're a dead ass.
Yeah,
I just want you to know that.
Just say, when the apocalypse comes, Brian, you run in the other direction.
Yeah,
because you're not gonna be any help to me.
I don't need you dragging me down, trying to ask questions of the fucking zombies while they're biting my fucking legs off. No,
Michael.
No.
We killed that zombie. Should we keep killing it when it comes back? Brian, stay here for a second. I just need to go get something. Yeah, let's just leave his ass.
Spare bullets in your pocket, Brian?
Hey, you know what? Let me take that food that you're carrying. Yeah, it seems like it's weighing you down.
It's heavy, yeah.
It's weighing you down. I don't want you to get bit or anything.
Yeah. Oh, well. So basically, we all pretty much loved season 2.
Yeah, well,
except for Brian, who would love it if he actually sat down and watched it.
Who didn't watch
Could
it?
Could be.
I will say this. The finale does illustrate what not having an evacuation plan in the zombie apocalypse.
Fuck that no one leaves. No one gets left behind. Actually, someone gets left behind.
Well, look, somebody got left behind because the bitch that was supposed to be looking out for her just walked off. What the fuck? It's like, well, I saw her hit the ground. You didn't even try to save me, bitch? All right. No, that's fine. Right.
To be fair.
No, she's not combat effective. No, it was better for her to leave. But
not
that's
only
fine.
That. No, I was going to say, to be fair, we are in the middle of a zombie herd.
Well,
at that point, if a zombie falls on top of you and there's like 8 million zombies around, I might make the assumption that you're dead. I might.
hey, whatever. Of all the people that could have got left behind, I would have swapped those two.
That's true.
So, if you could tell me, what's the one thing you think this show does better than anything else? I mean, what's the premier thing?
Why
that
do
makes
we like
this show special?
So much?
What makes
suspense?
Yeah,
I think it's suspense
when it's not being slow.
Okay. Suspense, a good thriller, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. Okay.
I just like the idea, and I got it from the comic book, so I'm getting it now from the show. Of it's an ongoing story of living in a zombie apocalypse. It's not just the initial
the
outbreak.
It's good. Well,
premise.
Right. It's not
but
the
it's
initial
good
outbreak.
Characters.
Yeah, it's good characters in a situation where you know most zombie movies, you just get the initial outbreak. Well, this is what happens beyond that.
They aren't all good characters. As my wife is so fond of pointing out, Lori is the worst mother ever.
Yes, Lori's a pretty terrible mother.
It's the middle of the fucking zombie apocalypse. Do you know where your children are? Well, Lori doesn't.
Exactly.
Because that little kid's running all over the fucking place.
My other favorite thing about her is Shane thinks that it's his kid and you need to protect us. I'm saying that you need to kill Shane. Then later on, oh my God, I can't believe you killed Shane.
don't touch me, murderer.
I can't believe you killed Shane, you motherfucker. Wait. Bitch, you told me to kill Shane. What the fuck?
So what you're saying is I'm not.
She's
getting
not consistent.
Laid. I'm not getting any sex.
It's like, oh no, I'm getting the sex. You know how many zombies I killed for your ass? Oh, that's the other thing I learned from this finale.
This is when away from that.
When you're in the car, when you're in a vehicle, you don't stop the vehicle. Keep that bitch rolling. Because when you stop the vehicle, that's when they climb through the windows and bite your ass.
Yes.
Like Jimmy, poor Jimmy, who's in the RV. Hey, Jimmy, don't get out of the fucking car.
Or she just sitting there saying, I'm going to pull over if you two don't start stop arguing. And
hey,
don't make me pull over.
No, he does a rescue. He pulls in with the RV. But then he's like, let me get up and get out of the driver's seat and go walk around, make some tea or something. Zombies bust in the door and they eat his ass. And I was like, you know
These
what?
Must be American zombies.
No,
they don't respect tea time.
No, fuck tea time.
Jimmy and Patricia died pretty badly.
Yeah, well, look. All right, you know what? Fuck them. It's both their faults. Jimmy shouldn't have stopped the damn RV. Patricia should have kept her head on the swivel.
Also,
it's fucking zombie apocalypse. There's a horde out.
Also, bad mother on her, too. If you're holding your child's hand and you get caught and you're getting eaten by
zombies,
you let that girl's hand go. You dead. She's not getting eaten on, so maybe you should let her go.
That wasn't her kid, though.
That's
not Herschel's wife. Herschel's wife is dead. That's just that's Otis's wife.
Oh, that was Otis.
So that justifies hanging on to the kid's hand.
Well, okay. I always
fuck that kid. If I'm going down, this bitch is coming with me.
I just thought
my DNA ain't going on. Neither is your DNA.
I thought that once you start having dead incisors digging into your flesh, maybe you tense up a little bit. That's that's understandable.
I can see that.
Yeah,
I can see that.
And she was kind of like, "Hey, help me," even though I'm sure she's seen a zombie movie, so she should know that she's a lost cause.
Mm-hmm.
But, whatever. She's still like, wait, there's still hope for me. No, bitch, get the fuck off of me. I was surprised Lori didn't shoot her in the head so she'd let go, or like shoot her in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
Something. There's too many zombies close to me. You need to let go.
Except I'm surprised Lori came back at all. I'm sorry. I might be useless in the middle of a zombie herd. It's all for me at that point. I just want to get the fuck up out of here. There's a car there. I think T-Dog's in it. I'm going for it.
And I think and again, that dumbass also stopped the car. Like, they're there. They're getting overrun. She rolls up in the truck, knocks a couple people over.
Mm-hmm.
All right, great. Then they sit in the car, like, waiting for someone. No, you keep driving in a circle. Don't let them surround you. That's how you get killed. A car can take out 3 zombies. Car can't take out, like, a dozen.
I think Brian's writing down notes. Okay, when zombie apocalypse comes, drive in circle.
I'm just saying, if you're checking to see if somebody's dead, you don't sit in the car static. You keep that shit moving. That's all I'm saying.
I will say this: this finale was probably the best episode of the season. I do.
Well, it was the most. There's the most action in it.
It was the most exciting.
But it's the most exciting. It depends what you're looking for. Now that's kind of what I'm looking for is, you know, hordes of zombies rolling through and
right. Yeah.
You know.
So what would you? What was your defining point that is the most important thing to the show as far as what you love? What you love most?
Well,
about
it's
the show.
Patrick loves zombies.
I do love zombies.
So
I'm
it's
pretty
just
much
zombies.
I'm pretty much in. Well, it's fairly well done. It's not everybody being stupid. Just the main character's wife, and although most of their problems is her fault, but that's neither here nor there. I do like the fact that that their main problems aren't the zombies. It's just a bunch of people that are stuck together. Mm-hmm. And they have shitty personality issues. Kind of in the backdrop of the zombie apocalypse. I will complain that every now and again, they don't act like they're in the zombie apocalypse, which bothers me. You know, it's
they
like,
absolutely do not.
Yeah, it's like why are you all out here making all this damn noise? There's zombies out there. You don't. Yeah. But you know, other than that, I like it. I enjoy it. I think it's good.
Quick question to you two on our way out. Which do you prefer, comic or TV show?
You have an idea on that, Steve?
I don't think I really have a preference. I didn't see the whole comic book series, and okay. Obviously I haven't seen the whole TV series, but...
Well, actually, you
so
have.
Far I don't have a preference. I mean, the whole run of the show.
Right,
so.
Right. For me, I'm going to go ahead and make a call for now. I think I prefer the comic, but not by much. I like the comic. The comic gets a little darker.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with it. I think I prefer the TV show just because... Well, no. If you had read the comic book...
You would know. There's shit that happens in the comic.
No, when Michael says, I like it because it's darker, I'm afraid and I stay away. Yeah. So I get where you're coming from. I just...
So there is some shit in that comic that will fuck a lesser mind up. And
on that point, I'll point out that the governor is in season 3.
Yeah, so I'm kind of hoping... So
that
knowing
they tone that down a little
bit?
Well,
knowing that they're going with that, and knowing that...
Michonne?
Well, dare Michonne and the thing with Rick, the only thing I'm thinking is they probably don't want to have to do that makeup on like every show after that. So that's probably not going to happen. Mm. But and since you know the show diverges, I mean, they can very easily say, well, we don't have to recreate some of these horrific things. Well, whatever.
I'll tell you.
I won't spoil that because that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it hasn't. I'm not going to say anything that in case people give a shit. But there are two things that happen when the governor gets involved.
Three actually.
Yeah,
include his thing. So they're just bad.
They're
just
horrific. They make the point with the governor basically that the worst thing out there is not zombies.
Yeah.
There's a lot worse things that can happen to you in this world than zombies.
Yeah.
And the governor is one of them.
And they,
that guy was fucked up.
They did kind of allude to it when Randall was telling Daryl about his group,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, when they came across the guy that was with his daughters.
Mm-hmm.
So they did kind of allude to some of that. I hope they kind of tone some of that down. Because I don't need to see it. This is like in BSG. Like I don't need that in my sci-fi.
Are you hoping they're going to tone it down, Michael?
Actually, a little bit. Yeah, because I got the comic. The comic is still going, and I'm assuming they're going to tone it down because it's television.
It's AMC.
I mean, some of the things that happen, I'm like, there's no fucking way. Yeah. Like the hand thing.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
But that's just logistically, that's a pain in the ass. Though,
it is a pain in the ass
to continue after that. That's a lot of special effects budget just to have that as a daily occurrence.
True.
Just as a daily thing.
We'll see.
So yeah, it'll, you know, I don't think it'll be that. It might be damaged for a while. It might be damaged permanently, but it probably won't.
They're definitely going to do something to acknowledge it because it's a bitty big piece.
Oh,
of the
yeah, yeah. Well, that's part of that character now.
Yeah.
But I thought we're talking on these vague things. People that don't know, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Just say it. Not going
to
happen.
Welcome to my experience in this podcast.
Yeah.
I'll just say this. Somebody pulls a Jedi. Yeah.
So far, I'm liking
the show more?
Well, I'm only liking the show just because I think I'm liking the show just for the foreshadowing of what happens when the governor gets involved. Mm. So we'll see where they go with it, because at that point I might switch back to the comic book.
I know I'm known for liking dark things, but my thing is I really appreciate it when you say no one is safe, and you fucking mean it.
And you mean it.
I was like, wow. Why, you just fucked over the main character. Yeah.
I do appreciate, though, that the comic book doesn't have any characters with dog in their name. Seriously?
T-Dog.
Look, motherfucker, you ain't no gang no more, all right? What's on your motherfucking birth certificate? Is it T-Dog? No, your name's Milton? Done. I'm calling you Milton from now on.
I'm just happy he's still alive.
You know what? I'd rather he be dead at this point.
He might as well be. He just shows up every now and then.
Hey, whatever. It's better than having them talk to him. even when Rick was like, all right, we got to go find Randall. T-Dog, Daryl, take him back in the house. I'm like, could you just call him the N-word? I think that would be better. Just call him that.
I don't think
it's quite that bad.
I'll just say this.
I really don't. I think.
When they had a special like that I saw online somewhere, because I don't really watch TV. They had a special that I saw online somewhere where they were interviewing all the actors about were they looking forward to season 3. And T-Dog was like, oh, yeah, and the scripts just keep getting better. It's like, really? Do you have parts in the script? Because you just occasionally show up, say one line, and then that's your part of the episode.
You know what? You want to pay me $15,000 for that? I'm cool with that.
That's kind of true. Yeah, actually, I couldn't argue with that.
I need you to lean up against his mantelpiece and say, no, we need to kill Randall. I can do that. My check, please. Thank you. It's just, it's irritating.
That his name is T-Dog. No, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's just dumb. Yeah. Like the character that they added that wasn't in the comic at all.
Daryl?
No, well, Daryl
is added, but.
But no, in the first episode, the guy that helps him after Rick gets out of the hospital, the guy with the... No, actually, they're
that,
in
that guy is
no, you're right. Never mind.
That guy in the center in the comic book.
Yeah.
It was one of the interesting things they did in the comic book where they introduce you to a character and then he walks away from that character. Actually, I won't say you never see him again. You do actually see him again, but it's like 70 issues later before you see that character.
That's
again.
Like a retcon at that point.
Yeah. So. Oh, no. They just tell you about what he's been doing since then.
Yeah. So, okay. Never mind. So I got confused on that, but... It's like,
but I like that actor.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, no, I like that actor. That actor's good. Watch Jericho.
If he's in Jericho?
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Oh yeah.
I need to watch me some Jericho.
All right. We really.
We need to wrap
really did
up.
Go long. Hey, we're trying to go for 30 minutes, so that was 20 minutes ago. So I think we're gonna have to call this one. Walking Dead.
We're gonna call this Dead Walking Dead. Boom boom. All right, Steve, do you think?
No, you go ahead and do it.
Fuck that. Steve, do you think? Come on, Steve, you're doing so well.
Look, ain't nobody know how to pimp like Steve know how to pimp.
Come on, Steve.
Come on, Facebook, Steve.
Come on, Daddy. I'm never going to do that again.
Please do not
you know
ever
what?
Do that again.
Doesn't matter. It's recorded.
Ever.
Yeah,
we can play it back as many times as we want. That's what the listeners are doing right now.
Yeah, Patrick can edit that into every single episode.
That's going to be in a YouTube video, Getting to Know Michael. Did I do good, Daddy?
Is the title of this episode going to be Come
On,
Daddy?
A little bit of Photoshop. It could get real interesting.
Photoshop.
You know what? I like when we name the episode in the episode. Come on, Daddy.
Steve. Do it.
Well, thank you for listening and downloading and subscribing. We need you to like us on Facebook and share it to your timeline so all your friends get to see how big of a nerd you are. We have a website somewhere. You know where it is. So go there,
words
do your thing,
and stuff.
And we'll see you next time. I'm Steve.
This is Michael.
This is Patrick.
What's that, Brian?
Oh,
what?
Well, now I'm definitely going to say it. You were right, Michael. You got Steve to say it. He's totally your bitch. This is Brian.
Oh, God. Don't start some shit. Save that for the next episode.